welcome to this week's Steve Read. Some of y'all done messed up and said you'd listen to me read the back of a cereal box, the Bible upside down, or heck, maybe a can of dog food featuring your long-lost sister on the label like a milk carton kid. You never know what I might come up with. Earlier this week, there was an article put out by Tor, the wonderful folks at Tor Publishing, talking about Appalachian speculative fiction. Contained therein was a little capsule write-up about our cousin Osher Elbein and their book Ghost Days that they produced with Tiffany Terrell. The little blurb there said that this was a novel for fans of a podcast called Old Gods of Appalachia, and we agree. Osher's been a friend of ours since the beginning. In fact, when they first discovered us, we got a message, and we've been chit-chatting and looking at a beautiful copy of the Anna O'Brien collection Ghost Days on my desk right now. And that's where our reading for this week comes from. From Ghost Days, an Anna O'Brien collection by Osher Elbein and Tiffany Terrell. Night on the Bald, 1901. There was nothing, Anna O'Brien decided, she wouldn't give for a fire. Evening washed over the ridgeline trails, painting the surrounding slopes the dull gray of old metal. The wind cut against the sparse forest, whirling around the thin tree trunks and thickets, setting the birch branches rattling. There was no escape from it. Even with her battered coat pulled tight around her, the chill crept in, freezing Anna's limbs, making the fitting of her wooden leg ache. It was a bad time to be out on the road. She tucked herself tighter against the fallen log and put her hands against her mouth and exhaled. Her breath slid easily through the ratty gloves, the bitter air plucking the warmth away. For a moment, she thought longingly of the abandoned town at the bottom of the slope. If she hadn't been so damn stubborn, she could be down there now, warming her hands in one of those empty cabins, listening to the frustrated wind blow through the walls. If she'd just overlooked the overturned furniture, the crockery sitting in the cupboards, bed after bed with mold-spackled sheets. Anna hugged her knees against her chest, her mouth a thin line. Cold bark pressed against her back. She had stood at the crossroads and looked at the houses. Open doorways standing dark in the wan fields. Only the ridge road had been clear of buildings, and she'd followed it as fast as she dared, thighs smarting from the climb, resentful of her own stiffness, and eager to put that desolate place behind her. Only when she saw the sun setting over the mountains did it occur to her that she'd made a mistake. And by then, it was too late to do anything about it, too late to do anything but duck down and think about what to do next. Hugging her coat tighter around her body, she gritted her teeth against the ache in her foot. Branches clacked overhead, sharp wind whirled around her, burning cold against her cheeks. Leaves tumbled past over the rocky ground. The hell with it. She'd have to find herself a place for the night, and that meant she had to move. Taking a deep breath, she twisted one hand over another and closed her eyes. Prickles of heat gathered in her stomach. Concentrating, she moved her hand again, and the prickles became a warm current, spiraling down her arms and wafting off the tips of her fingers. This time, as she exhaled, a warmth flared all over her body and stayed. The world spun. Closing her eyes, she tilted her head back and swallowed, fighting the dizziness that always came with conjuring. The first time she tried the charm, she'd nearly passed out. The second, her leg gave and she tumbled down a hillside. But it was getting better, wasn't it? She has had to keep going, keep pushing. It had taken her months to get used to walking the day after she woke to find her leg gone. Why should magic come any easier? Anna caught her breath and sighed, pushing herself up. Pulling her hat down against the wind, she picked her way forward, the tapping of her stick jarring her numb fingers. Moss crunched under her feet. The warming charm blunted the force of the wind at least a little bit, but it wouldn't last. Maybe there'd be an outcrop somewhere. A fallen tree large enough to tuck herself under the ridgeside. Enough dry leaves to scrape into a bed. The wind stuttered. And for the briefest of moments, the air hung flat and heavy over the ridge, and Anna stopped. A soft weight had fallen on her, like the warning touch of a spider web stretched across the trail. Something watching. She saw nothing amid the quaking branches of the black strips of shadow swaying on the stones, nothing but random scraps of moonlight in the space between them. Anna froze, the breath catching in her throat. On the trail beside her was a dog. It stood dark against the pale birch trees, its shoulders tall as Anna's waist, its back and flanks a matted tangle of black fur. Huge paws sprouted from the leaf litter, its heavy-jawed head studied her, round eyes glowing a pale blue. When she met its gaze, the dog moved, long legs sweeping soundlessly over the uneven ground. It drifted up the trail and stopped a little way up the ridgeline, swinging back to look at her, ears pricked. Anna's fingers gripped her walking stick. Standing there, she was a little girl again, huddling under the blanket next to her mother and sister after a night of tales, the forest of her mind swarming with stories of the ghost eater who haunted lonely roads and lurked under lynching trees. The black dog, the shadow and shape of a hound. "What do you want?" she said. Dried leaves swirled through the dog's frame, catching faint glimmers of blue from the shining eyes. Its gaze never wavered. "Do I follow you? Is that it?" Its ears flicked. In a languid movement, the dog was up on its feet and gone, the gloom folding, swallowing it up. It stepped out from behind a tree several feet away and stared, head cocked. Fear and curiosity fought inside of Anna for a long moment. Finally, she took a deep breath and felt the cold biting into her teeth. "All right," she said, "let's go." The dog stalked forward again. And this time Anna O'Brien followed. Brush and heather crunched under her boots, snatching at the coarse fabric of her trousers. She kept her free hand stretched forward, guiding herself from tree to spindly tree. The trunks withered and wind-curled under her gloved fingers. Her shoulder ached from the weight of the bag, sweat gathered in clammy beads beneath her hat. Then the trees fell away, and the ridgeline expanded into a sloping bald, a vast clearing of gnarled underbrush and tufts of pale grass. No trees grew thereon the vast clearing, and no high rhododendron bushes or tall thickets of lilac. The wind ran fast and hard, waves rippling through the stems that the hillside fields were running and going nowhere. Ahead, dark against the moonlit clouds, stood the ruined timbers of a church. Perhaps the carpenters who'd raised it had originally produced a tall, straight building with firm joints and a steady, dignified face. If so, that had been long ago. Now the walls sag, the timbers subtly out of true, as if some great weight had warped them out from the inside. Spars projected up from the half-collapsed rooftop like ribs. The steeple tower looked as if it had been chewed by enormous jaws. Under the wind, at the faint reaches of Anna's hearing, came a distant thrum of sound. She came to a halt, adjusting her coat. The dog hung back as well. It paced, head sweeping back and forth over the ground. The night swallowed it up and spat it out on a ripple of exposed stone, its great body curving like a bow as it stared at the church. "What's here?" Anna said. Her voice came out quiet, barely audible over the rustle of the grass. "What are you after?" The dog turned to look at her, teeth glinting in its open jaws, its black coat twisted into nothingness. The blue embers of its eyes winked out. Anna waited for it to reemerge to give some further sign, but the field lay empty under the stars, and gradually she understood. She was alone. She shivered, a wash of cold air licking her face. The church loomed against the dark, a weird flickering light pouring from the high windows. Muffled whispers scraped against her ears. There was something about the place that reminded her of the cabins below the ridgelines, of black doors and rooms full of everything but people. But the warmth of her conjuring was wearing off, nibbled away by her chill and her physical exertion, and the chatter built in her teeth, whatever waited for her inside. At least she'd be out of the wind. Scraps of wood littered the grass outside the church front, and Anna picked her way through the debris and paused at the heavy door. It alone seemed in good repair, and she put out a hand to touch it. as she heard the sound of voices through the frame. She glanced over her shoulder at the empty bald, looking at the distant tree line, and then, taking a deep breath, she brought up her fist and knocked 3 times against the wood. Hinges creaked. The door shuttered open in a wash of red light, revealing the backlit shape of a heavy-set woman standing in the entryway behind her. Anna glimpsed rows of benches and broken chairs. "Well, come in," said the woman. "No call to stand about." Anna blinked. "Thank you." The woman ushered her inside. A small crowd of people sat near the door, their faces indistinct in the dim light. Only the closest seats were filled. The rest ran in empty lines all the way to the far end of the church, where the pews had been ripped out and piled carelessly along the walls. A low fire licked sluggishly at the floorboards, casting an eerie glow against the walls. Red light washed across uneven planks, and the absence of real wind cheered Anna in some small way. The click of the latch thudding into place behind her did not. It took everything she had not to flinch. "You're early, sister. We won't be getting started for a while yet."
"Didn't want to be late," Anna said. "Never been before."
"I thought as much." The woman's eyes glittered out of a sturdy face. A much-patched dress and fine apron hung from her sloping shoulders. "I've been coming long enough, and I never seen you. Where's you from?"
"Here and there."
More faces were turning to look at her. Most of them were women, showing a range of ages, some of them as old and hard-beaten, others as young as Anna herself or younger. At first glance, they all looked normal, even pleasant. But the more she stared, the more unease fluttered in her gut.
"I've been walking the hills some, drifting."
"Well, that's good. Nothing tying you down. Easy to move on when you've had your fill." The stout woman smiled, her eyes disappearing in a mass of wrinkles as she patted her belly. "Oh, my wandering days are done, sister. That's a young girl's game. Some year you'll want a roof over your head and steady food. You got a name?"
"Anna."
"I'm Kezia. Pleased to know you." Anna flashed a smile across her face, taking in the sagging benches around her. Her eyes were drawn to the fire and what lay just beyond. A crude altar brooding on the base of a carved stone constructed out of woven branches and the remnants of the pulpit. A trio of raven skulls sat on top, firelight flickering on those painted beaks. The stars were cold pinpricks through the holes in the roof.
"Emptier than I thought it'd be," Anna said. "Oh, Hollow Jenny and the rest will be along," said a woman at a nearby bench.
She looked about Anna's age, her long legs crossed, knees poking out from beneath her short cotton dress.
"Whenever they decide to stir themselves, anyhow."
"You hush," said an old man. "Jenny moves on her own time, and you know it always has."
Keisha shrugged.
"Been coming later and later. Mary's right about that."
"But she does come. She's been in a mood. That's all. Ain't you seen?"
"Oh, we all seen it," Keisha said. "Her wrinkles are spreading fast now, aren't they? Faster with her sharing her take like the rest of us. She'll be switching soon, I guess."
And family, on that mysterious little snippet, I leave you with this week's Steve Reads. Again, our reading was from Asher Elbein and Tiffany Trill's Ghost Days, an Anna O'Brien collection. You can find a link just below in the show notes where you could purchase that. And we appreciate our family and want to promote all those talking about the mysterious things in the mountains, be they from Texas or all the way out here in the Appalachians. We'll see you next time on Steve Reads, right here on Patreon.